It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
All right, welcome back. You are listening or watching Davin's Den. Pip and I are joined by comedian, actor, podcaster, former policeman, Eddie Clark. Hi, Eddie. How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Welcome to Davin's Den, man. I can't believe we haven't had you on the show before. I apologize.
I was saying it earlier. As long as we've known each other, I'm being broken in now to the madness of Davin's Den and Pip. And now I get to meet Pip at last. And well, my life is complete. Because let me tell you something. I've been paying close attention to this show. I watch it a lot. And I want to be perfectly honest with you and all your listeners, right? What happened to Pip with her car is what they do whenever females show up. The fact of the matter is, the reason they figured they could wait you out and make you buy the car because you're a woman and you're too damn stupid to know that all they have to do is reorder the car and wait a little bit because they might lose $10-$20. But because you're a woman, they disrespected you and they did that. And I say they should all burn in hell. Hell with all of them. That's right.
I gotta tell you, Eddie, I do not like this vibe of chivalry that you are bringing to the show. This of do gooder and sticking up for Pip. I don't like it at all.
There's a reason for it. Let's see if you can catch on. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam.
Oh, he's not even saying it over wine. He's probably got like Sprite. He's probably saying like a prayer.
Trust me, bro. Oh, I can't pour that. That's wine.
He's got the Manischewitz. All right. Pip asked me.
I'm the only Jew that actually drinks Manischewitz during the rest of the year. Right? Proselytes do that. You know why? Well, you know, I could be the Messiah. Don't mess with me.
Yeah, I got to tell you, there's no way I get the Messiah on this show. I don't have that type of clout.
We were planning on breaking you. Now I'm going to feel like I have to tread lightly, not only because you took my side about the car and explained things to me, but you could be the Messiah.
Oh, can you imagine that? We're damned to we get eternal damnation because we bust the Messiah's balls. Can you imagine that shit? Out of all the shitty things we've done in our life, that would be the thing. We had the Messiah on our show, and we were a bunch of douchebags like we are to everybody, and the Messiah had hurt feelings, and now we don't get redeemed. That's the way my luck is.
I know. That is how I'm going to go down. I figured that out.
Oh, Christ. Christ. Now the cat. This is disgusting. The cat literally just puked in front of me, and there's nothing I can do about it because I'm doing this.
I'm sorry. Are you watching your cat have a bodily function and distracting the show because of that?
No, the cat had a reaction to Eddie being called the Messiah. The cat's like, too much.
Pip, I'm with you on this one because he did say to you earlier. What did he say? He goes, great. What I got to deal with now is figure out what bodily functions are coming out of your cat. I was there. I heard the whole thing.
Thank you.
My wife and I were appalled. Because I can bring all three of my cats in here right now, one of which is black, I might add. I can bring all three of them in here right now, and they will meow your ass to death.
All I can tell you is, Eddie, like 10 years, 11 years, however long I've been doing this freaking show, Maui has never vomited during the course of the show right in front of me. Joe and Pip have been here for most of the shows. So, again, I stand by the fact calling you the Messiah was too much for my cat.
The
cat does not like black people. The cat does not like black people. That's clearly what it is. Is Binks a black cat?
Yes, Binks will have something to say about that. Because Binks is picking up to me. He is the Messiah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He saved me many a time.
Too much cats
tonight.
Well,
I'll tell you something that you'll appreciate, Eddie. The cat that I was very concerned about his poop issues is a black cat. So black kitty poop matters.
That's it. Ugh. That's it.
It does.
Are you guys out there? Or on their outside.
All right. No. This is not fucking cat fancy enough. I was just Now I gotta clean up this mess. Like I have to clean up most things. That fucking sucks. So Eddie, how have you been? Because our lives we've all changed during the pandemic. I mean, you're a touring comedian. You were doing a lot of work. You're an actor. You've been in a lot of things. What have you been doing since the pandemic moved into town?
Actually, I came home and I discovered my house because I bought this house just before the pandemic broke in South Jersey. And I spent the last, 9 months discovering my house because my wife had to, because I was on the road. My wife had a chance to understand everything about the house. And now it's, I finally figured out just about where everything is. I still haven't been in the attic yet. I refuse to go up there.
Well, is it true you should avoid the attic at all costs?
And I saw a Geico commercial with a black guy and all them dummies, and I'm not taking no chance because white folks had this house before me. I ain't taking no chances. They do that just to scare black people out of their neighborhood.
Did you move into a white neighborhood, Eddie? Is that what you did?
Actually, it's a mixed race neighborhood. There's white people with tans, and me.
White people with tans.
Well, their mind's going to be blown when they find out which god you pray to. Their minds.
Oh, trust me, I've had that discussion.
Pip asked me before the show, but I wasn't going to bring it up. But I'll bring it up now. We, many a year ago, I was trying to book Eddie for a Chabad house. And that's when we found out the rabbi where we were going was, in fact, a racist rabbi, which led to a whole saga that was on the show. But Eddie was the act I was trying to hire for that gig. I had done it the year before. And so I was going to bring Eddie in because Eddie is Jewish. And for some reason, this guy's mind was blown. So Eddie's the act. They would have had a great show. But Eddie's the guy that made me find out my rabbi is racist. And we wound up leaving that place. We wound up leaving there. And there was a little, I'm not going to rehash the whole story. But then Eddie's pal, I don't know if they're still friends. They were very close friends at one point. Eddie's pal wound up doing the gig multiple times.
Yeah, well.
I guess you guys aren't still friends.
Well, I don't have a problem with anyone except for I don't keep things around me or people around me that just don't want to ever be positive. You know, somewhere along the line, you have to be positive.
I agree with that. I agree with that. There are certainly people in our lives that there's always something wrong. It's always negative. They suck the life out of you. The hard part is my mom is like a negative person. Like she'll like, I mean, she doesn't mean to be, but she'll like call me up to tell me, and she's trying to, it's coming from a place of love, but it's like always about like, oh, there's a recall on this, or don't do that, or make sure you tell your daughter not to do this. You know, it's kind of, or I won't ask her how she's doing because it's never good.
I know.
You know, like, hey, how are you? And you'll say fine, and that's really where the conversation needs to end. Unless, you know, it's something out of the ordinary where something serious is going on, and it's not usually going on, and you want to tell me, that's fine. But when we always talk, and there's always something bad going on, I stop asking. Because I just assume shit's bad at that point. So I totally get what you're talking about, Eddie, where you just go, I can't.
With that said, I will say this publicly. I still love Bill Sumner. It doesn't matter. I still love the guy. He's crazy, but I still love him. You know?
He's a good guy. But he's
a guy, he has issues.
Here's the thing.
If you have me looking right now, I can hear it right now. Oh, Eddie Clark? Eddie Clark's talking about me? He does not understand. I will put the curse up on him. The selling curse will be up on him forever. He will die. Penis will fall off. I know what I can do, and I will run him over with my car, and things will be right.
Yeah, that's pretty much Phil.
Wait a minute. You had me at his penis will fall off.
The only part Eddie did not put in the Phil impersonation was being called a douchebag. That is
yeah,
Phil's
douchebag. Eddie Clark,
he's
a douchebag.
Phil is one of these people that finds himself to be aggrieved by almost everybody. You know those people where, like, everybody is apparently out to get them, and it was done on purpose and done out of spite, which I'm a fan of. I'm a fan of spite. But you can't be the victim of spite by everybody.
You have to go, what's the common denominator here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But
that would be me.
Phil's a good guy. You know, I've had it out with Phil on occasion. He's a good guy, but he's not a low maintenance friend. You know. I'm pretty much a low maintenance friend. Like, you might not hear from me for 5 years. We're still friends. We just don't need to talk. Pip fell out of my life for years. For years. And then when we started the show, we picked it back up. And there was no hard feelings like, oh, you don't call. Where have you been? Why don't you check me? A family member died? I was there for Pip. You know? But other than that, low maintenance relationship. And Pip is a low maintenance relationship for me. You know, that's why we, you know, sometimes when stuff's going on, Pip and I will talk. If I have something or she has something, we'll talk. But it's not a constant barrage of negativity. Now, Pip has a lot of high maintenance people in her life. Pip is the rock of the stability in her life where she would tell me stuff when we're not on the air. Sometimes on there, I'm like, you got to get the fuck away from these people. So I understand, Eddie, how you had to make a call and go, all right, this is a little too high maintenance for me. I need a break. I get it.
Yeah, every once in a while, there's somebody that, you know, I'm a pretty loyal friend, but even I have a limit. And once it's reached, it's really going to take an extraordinary amount to get me back because it takes a long time to get there. That's a really slow burn.
Yeah.
My attitude is based on the bar that has been set by them in 5 years. That means I've only got, 10 months left.
No, not at all.
I have to go back in 10 months, so I might as well enjoy this last 10 months before I go back and find myself in the middle of the madness of being called a douchebag.
Well, I might have to make an exception for you since you are the Messiah. It would behoove me to have be on the good side of the Messiah. But here's the thing about comics. Comics, we get it. We're busy. We're traveling. We're crisscrossing. You might not see another comic for 10 years, but then your paths will cross and just for a weekend, and you could pick up right where you left off. That's
yes.
I mean, I haven't seen Eddie in a long time, and it's not because I love Eddie less and he's not important. We just get lost in our own shit. We have to, like, you know, it's hard. It's hard for me. I can only speak for me. It's hard for me to remember to pick up the phone and call somebody unless there's a reason. I am not good at calling and shooting the shit.
I never take it personally. It happens. My attitude is, like, you know, I think what's really going to be interesting is when I get back on the road and probably by the spring or early summer, I'm probably back on the road, back on cruise ships. It's going to be running into a lot of people that I had run-ins with leading up to the election on my Facebook page. I'm sure you have watched, David. I know you've seen some of them. And some of these people, it's like, I know these comics. I love some of these guys to death. And it's just some of the stuff that came out of their mouth made me absolutely crazy.
Here's my problem.
Yeah.
Here's my problem with right-wing comics. Most of them don't talk about being right-wing on stage, pussies. And if they do talk about it being on stage, it's usually a tired Hillary Clinton joke. That's my problem with right-wing comics. It's hard for me to think of, like, a comic who does right-wing stuff that's doing original and funny stuff. Now, Biden might give them that opportunity, but I want to see something more other than old and senile. You know, I want to see the writing. So that's my problem with right-wing comics. They're not really good for – they don't really bring their views that they share with us, whether we want them to or not, onto the stage because they're pussies. I said it. Now, even Joe –
not in a good cat fancy way.
Even Joe, who's a right-wing guy, I mean, he doesn't really talk politics too much. I mean, he never really sunk his teeth into Biden too much or liberals, like, you know, and that's fine. I get it, but they just don't do it. But they want to come at us on our fucking social media, right, Eddie?
And they totally bug out. And that's what I try to tell guys, because I try to be reasonable. And that's Edward H. Clark. If you ever want to join on Facebook, because I believe you can say whatever you want to say. I have two rules. Don't make it personal. Don't troll. Other than that, I don't care what you say.
Two good rules.
Drop the N-bomb on me. I care less. Just don't make it personal. Don't troll. I don't care.
Well,
but
I don't know if they should do that either. I don't think that's very nice.
No, that probably wouldn't be a good idea either. But the thing about it is with a lot of these guys is, like you said, they come out and, you know, you see them. There's one guy in particular that we both know. This guy lives out in the island, and he sits there and he tells me about how black people are horrible because they black people. It's a fact that black people murder white people at twice the rate of anybody else. I mean, black people murder white people at a 2-to-1 rate or some crime.
That's not true.
And then it's not true. Yeah, I know it's not true. But he picked out a particular segment in the U.S. Department of Statistics, speaking of the Midwest and Detroit area, where for a period of, I think it was like 11 months, that did happen.
Okay.
People actually beat white people in you know, I mean, 400 years, I think a little getting even would be the worst thing in the world, but let's not move on. But he said that, and I called him out on it. And then the next day, I look on his Facebook page, and he's sitting there with a bunch of pictures, new pictures, with some open mic black comics next to him, like, hey, guys, this, you know, I'm not like that. I'm like, don't do it for the money. My thing is, be realistic about it. You know, if this is how you really feel, bring it to the stage. But a lot of guys won't come on a show like this, or they won't express themselves because they're worried about losing business.
Right.
Now, my thing is, how much do you really believe in what you're saying? You know, you're talking about a black man that was Republican until August of this year. Right?
Really?
Democratic Party August of this year.
Okay, I didn't know that.
And the thing about it, but I spoke my mind, and anybody knows me knows I said exactly what I felt, and I spoke on it as real as I could, you know, and I was fair about it. I think I was fair about it. Most people think I was fair. You know, but if you don't say what they want to hear all the time, you can't. You know, I said one time when there was a situation where I was mad at Barack Obama because when Obamacare came out, I got cancer not too long after that, and I lost my doctor, and it didn't cover me properly, and I had the best insurance. I still am paying $35,000, and I was pissed about that.
Sure.
Now, when I said that in front of the Trump supporters, Republican guys, oh yeah, but I told you it was all a lie. And I agree, no problem. I had a problem with that. You know what I'm saying? But later on, I mean, you remember that pat me on the back, oh, hey, let's go to dinner, you're the greatest guy in the world. The guys on Gomisky and Doyle on 101.5 New Jersey Radio. Oh, Eddie Clark, greatest freaking guy in the world. Then Trump says some crazy shit. I come out and call him out on it. Now I'm the devil.
Wow.
And now I'm the devil. You know, all of a sudden now, what's that guy's name that went to, the black guy that went to his Trump's thing in Texas and got COVID and died?
Oh, Herman Cain.
Yeah.
That was in Oklahoma.
Herman Cain, because, you know, what I say that is like, you know, you like me, pat me on the back, but as soon as something goes wrong, I die tomorrow, you don't want to know me no more. You know what I'm saying? Don't play me, man. Don't play me, don't use me. I'm going to be honest with you. Be honest with me. You know what I'm saying? But I also come with facts. What's the thing I always say, Darren? Do your homework. Don't come at me unless you've done your homework first. That's all I ask at the end of the day.
Well, I will say a little bit to that. Liberals also do not like it if you disagree with them, and you usually do agree with them. So I think it's just like there's too many people that root for their team, because I've brought it to I've sunk my fangs into liberals too, and you know I tend to lean to the left, but like you, I call bullshit bullshit. and you know, listen, people need to relax. I've lost work because of it, but so be it. Fortunately, there's a pandemic and nobody's working now, so really I win. The pandemic has made this guy a winner.
Because you're not working, but you have your principles.
No, I'm not working. I have my principles, and now a lot of people aren't working, and they have no principles. So I win.
You went down and shook those bastards with you.
Yeah. So now, Eddie, this might explain why you are a Republican, which I did not know. A fact that a lot of people might not know about you is you're a former police officer, right?
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
Let's see. When I leave the job, I went on in 1978 and did like 15 years, and boom, that was it.
So you were 5 years short of getting the pension.
I left there to go to the State Department. So the job opened up, the State Department, working the U.S. Mission United Nations, down the city, and I liked the job better, and I called it a day and I left.
Okay.
Wow, nice.
See, now I've I've had police on this show. I try to get police, and my neighbor's a police officer, and I talk to him about a lot of things, and obviously I've had African-Americans on my show. I've never had an African-American former police officer on my show, so I want your take on this. It is of my mind that Black Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter do not have to be mutually exclusive. In my mind, you can support Black people not being choked out on the street and being killed, and you could support good policing, and you could also support police being given a fair shake and not being looked at as the enemy. Now, that might be a very unpopular opinion in this day and age, because it doesn't really put me on either side, but I want your opinion on the Black Lives Matter and the Blue Lives Matter.
Basically, you just gave it. The thing about it is here's the deal with Black Lives Matter. First of all, Black Lives Matter is an organization. All right. If you were to go out and find 1,000 black people randomly, I guarantee you, maybe one of them may have considered actually joining quote unquote Black Lives Matter. Most black people are not a member of Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter, we're more in tune with the idea that Black Lives Matter and the belief that all lives won't matter until Black Lives Matter.
Right.
You can't have the history that you've had in this country of 402 years of just keeping your foot on our necks and then just thinking, you know, one day you wake up and go, hey, we gave you a black president. That's it. It's over. It's not that kind of party. In 1964, we gave you a Civil Rights Act. It's over. It's not that kind of party, man. The racism that goes on in this country is systematic, and it's something that's been woven into the very flag itself. And that's unfortunate. As far as Blue Lives Matter is concerned, yes, police officers, vast majority of cops are good. There's no denying that. We've lost over 350 police officers in this country for COVID. I guarantee if you were to go back and look at their records, I guarantee all 350 of those guys are probably clean. They've probably done right by people. You know, it's foul. But here's the thing with Blue Lives Matter, people have to understand. The biggest thing between Black Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter is Black Lives Matter is what it is. You know, just the idea that it's all right to just take a black life and it's not as important as others. The difference with that and Blue Lives Matter is important. A cop's life is important, but I think it's a bullshit expression because we have choice. We have a choice to be a cop. It's our decision whether we want to risk our lives and do this. Mm-hmm. I don't have that decision as a black person. I got to be black no matter what. You choose to join the police department. You choose to serve. And you should be protected and you should be treated right. I got no problem with that. And you damn sure should be respected. You know, because if it was such an easy job, everybody would do it. I have no problem with that. But it's the hijacking of police support, the hijacking of patriotism that pisses me off. People, if you look at the average person that's driving out with a pickup truck, if you see a blue line, police flag, the blue and gray with the red stripe in the middle police flag on the back, you can bet your ass that's a Republican and probably a Trump supporter. You can bet your ass on it. If you see a flag hanging on somebody's house, you can bet your ass it's probably a Republican and it's probably more than likely a Trump supporter. The hijacking of patriotism is the problem. The hijacking of, if you're a Democrat or if you're a liberal, there's no way in hell you can respect the cops. And these overt lies about what defunding the police. There were a few nuts, yes. There were a few nuts that, you know, they're going to give the cops. Well, I got news for you. Nobody calls for the cops more than black people do.
That's true.
Check the record. Nobody has called the cops more than we do, right? Because we got more crap going on in our backyards that needs to be dealt with. And you got guys that have to come in here and have to deal with this. And then on top of that, have this nonsense they have to deal with as being a police officer, especially white, man. You know, average white dude, man, goes to work like everybody else. He just wants to come in, do his job, get back home to his family at night. I can't knock a man for that. I'm sorry, I got a problem with it. I can't knock a man for that. But these guys, these Republicans and Trump supporters, to sit back and their total attitude is, well, if you don't think the way we think, you're not American. Dude! Read the Constitution.
You know what I find interesting? A lot of these people who will trumpet Blue Lives Matter, a lot of them don't want to wear a mask. And now I said, my neighbor's a police officer. He's a first responder. He tells me, he's like, I just wish people would wear masks because he's got to go in. I always say, listen, if you really think blue lives matter, wear your damn mask. It's the easiest thing you could do to show support for the police. It doesn't get easier than that. And we saw that in Michigan, I want to say in April, when the Democratic governor was putting down restrictions. And you saw these... You saw this militia in the state capitol armed. They're like 6 inches away from these cops' face, unmasked, just screaming at them. And these are the same people that are going to tell me they're pro-cop? No, you're not. You're not. It's more than just saying it and putting the flag or the bumper sticker. Wear the fucking mask.
Yeah, absolutely. It floors me that people won't do that. I actually went through this exercise in my head the other day. I was driving, which I haven't been doing a lot of lately, but I was driving and I was thinking to myself, because, you know, I don't like to wear the mask when I'm driving. I'm in the car alone. It doesn't matter. But then, like, if I'm going to go to, like, a Dunkin' Donuts drive-up window, I make damn sure I put my mask on before I get up there and I'm talking with the person. We're far enough away, but I don't think it's even 6 foot. But anyway, I always wear my mask when I'm, you know, getting gassed or whatever, and I'm going to interact with somebody through the window. And I thought, you know, if a cop pulled me over and I'm scrambling for my mask, is that going to look funny? Because I'm very conscious of, here they come, my hands are on 10 and 2 so I can see where my hands are, and I don't grab for anything, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get my license out of my purse now, because I know I have this, you know, round white lady face, and a lot of times people just trust me looking at me because I just have that friendly, open, I'm trustable, I sell Tupperware look. Now, that's not who I am, but
no, that's not who she is.
Pip is not to the PTA. You know, I got that face.
No, Pip will let food spoil. She is not gonna. She's not a Tupperware person. She's like, leave that shit on the counter for 3 days. I'll eat it. But that's a different story.
my face does not display my real life or my inner story.
Pip brings up a point that I actually wanted to ask you. It's a nice segue. So when you were a police officer, did you find that you would be more apprehensive or discriminatory towards people based on age, race, you know, whatever car they drove? Did you find yourself like putting people into a category in your mind before you had to encounter them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, honestly, I did. And believe it or not, one of the biggest ones, you got to remember, I was a police officer back in the 70s and 80s, and one of the biggest ones was white people. Because if you did something, if there was an altercation or something, you're a black cop, right? And something jumped off and they decided to complain, all of a sudden, I was a suspect. It didn't change just because I was carrying a badge.
That's interesting.
A white person could walk into the headquarters and make a complaint, and mine was a full-blown investigation. There were other guys that did things that were absolutely outrageous, you know, and it was like pull them off to the side, talk to them, talk to the person, it was all good. It didn't work that way necessarily with us.
I'd never. Wow. Did you find? How did other people, like, how did the white officer, did you find them profiling anybody?
Tell you a true story. I'm working. My first shift. I'm going out, and out of respect to the dead, I'm not going to mention the guy's name, but I know a friend of ours that's watching this right now, and I'm doing you a favor. I'm not going to mention his name. But the guy takes me out, and I grew up on the south side of Mount Vernon, New York, and I'm going to my first post, and we're, you know, going out, and he looks over at me because he goes, today, you're going to learn how to be a cop. And I said, okay, that's really cool, I'm ready. And he goes, what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach you how to deal with these niggas out here. And I said, excuse me? He goes, yeah, I can say that because you're not one of them anymore, you're one of us.
Wow.
All right? So those are the exact words. Wow. And I just sat there and looked at him, you know, and I kind of kept arm's length from that guy for the rest of the time I was on the job. But, you know, I never forgot that. And, I mean, I've heard, I had cops that threw the N-word at the desk. I mean, like it was nothing. And the other cops who I thought were okay, of all the cops that sat around, heard this one guy, and I will mention Charlie Oliver's name because he should burn in hell. But he actually said that. He actually threw that word out at the desk. I'll never forget that. They were talking about the 68 Democratic convention, and there was this cop that was getting, you know, had a nightstick. He's going to beat this black guy, he threw the N-word around like it was nothing to it. And it was me, six other cops, all white. I was working at the desk that night. I'll never forget it. I lived to be 100. But it was, racism was just, and you have to understand, when you have a situation where it's, you have 191 cops, I think 11 of us were black. All the bosses are black. The chief of police was a black guy, but he had gotten there from, you know, kissing the right buddy at the right time, and, you know, he was quiet. In fact, his nickname was Mouse. Yeah.
Now let me ask you this: did they have derogatory terms for like other ethnicities and races, or was it just black people?
The only minorities, when I was on at the time, I'm thinking, well, there was. You know, it's funny. There was one guy who was Hispanic, a Latino, and he ended up going to jail for stealing from a drug dealer.
Dude, can you not stereotype? Stop! Yeah. God.
Yeah, he's dope for drug dealers, so they end up sending him elsewhere. But as I think about it now, he was the only one I could think of. It was but he obviously wasn't dark skinned, white, But there were 11. There were 11 black guys on the job. And basically the rule was, they used to tell, the other black cops told me, keep your head down, don't say nothing,
That's
like
crazy.
Being on a plantation or something, I don't know.
Shit.
I saw the opportunity, I had problems on that job, accusations, I had one accusation where a guy tried to accuse me, of selling drugs. I'll never forget this stuff, as a cop. And I got jammed up in that nonsense, I had to live with that, but it was like, I'll never forget the corporation counsel, the guy's name was Joe Ragsdale. I'll never forget what he told me. The first time he took me in, he said, you think we're actually going to believe that there were seven cops involved, six white and one black, and a black guy didn't have anything to do with drugs? Then after they found out I had absolutely, I swear to God, then after they found out that I had absolutely nothing to do with it, the guy said, we're going to suspend you anyway because there's no way in hell we're going to leave you in room to actually sue the city. And I remember I was so frustrated because even my lawyer was on the take with them. A lawyer was totally up to it. It was a mess. But I tell you what, anybody that's watching this that wants to question me on that, the press, whatever, I defy you to go back, find the records, and pull it out. I guarantee you, Mount Vernon will fight you on bringing that stuff out. I didn't do it, but
You mentioned
I was the only one who wasn't fired either. Everybody else got fired.
You mentioned
I didn't do anything.
You mentioned the press, and one of the complaints I hear from active and retired police officers is they feel they don't get a fair shake in the press. They feel like the press is always looking to find the wrong in them. What do you think?
I think that back when I was on, you basically had a better shot with the press than you do today, and that's mostly because of social media. I personally believe that a lot of the press has this thing where it's a business. They're trying to get those ratings or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So even if a cop didn't do anything wrong, it's like, for example, when George Floyd died, Derek Chauvin, as everyone saw, you knew who the dirty guy was. You got two rookie cops with this guy. But the narrative that the press put out about those two rookie cops, right, made them as guilty in everybody's eyes as Chauvin. And my thing is, what people don't realize, when you're a rookie cop on the job and you got a guy with 15, 20 years on the job, and it's your first week or your first day, you do what the hell you're told.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying, you have to understand, you're talking gray areas here. We're not talking about, he says, go out and shoot that black guy. This guy shoots him, yeah, your ass going to jail. I don't care if you just got on the job 15 minutes ago. But they take the guy out, and you can question the procedure itself. Take the guy in the car. Throw the guy down, 6-foot-something guy, kind of big. They get him down, and the guy's like, put your body weight on this guy, right? If he tells me to do that, I got to be honest with you. I'm black. If a senior officer has already had to go through all this stuff, and he tells me to do that, I'm going to do it.
Well, if
there's a point where you see where this rookie cop always says he saw it in what appeared to be he wasn't breathing mm-hmm. or having a problem, at that point you have to make a decision. At that point, if what he says is true, that's the only thing I have a problem with this kid with. Because if you saw this guy was really that kind of distress, at some point you got to step up and say, wait a minute, yo, something's up. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's hard. I think it's hard in these police and I'm not defending it. I think it's hard in these police and military cultures when you're in that scenario and you're the low man on the totem pole. Because you know if you do something, you got a whole career of eating shit because of it.
Oh, that's no ifs, ands, buts about it. Let me tell you something. What do you think would have happened to that cop, that rookie cop, if he had gotten off him, grabbed Chauvin, threw him off him, and said, yo, man, you're killing this guy? What would happen to him? The press doesn't bring that up. That's one thing the people never talk about.
I mean, listen.
Rookie cop. I'm not judging the kid one way or another. All I'm saying is, what do you think happens to that rookie cop if he grabs Derek Chauvin, pulls him off George Floyd, and says, yo, man, you're killing this guy?
Well, I'll tell you what. Because it was videotaped, I think you'd be hailed a hero. Now, if it wasn't videotaped and we never saw it, he'd have a long career. He might wash out in a year.
He doesn't last a year on the job.
Yeah.
First of all, every guy on that job, you got to remember, also the problem is also with these police unions. But police unions they're like gang leaders or something. You know what I'm saying? Once the police union puts the word out on you, yo, this kid, man, he turned on one of our own. That's one of the other problems, is blue wall of silence shit. That's got to come to an end. That's definitely got to come to an end, man. When somebody, the biggest problem, the reason why guys like Derek Chauvin are allowed to do what they do is because the good cops see it happening and don't do anything. And then all they do is go back and they got some BS arrangement they made between the PBA and the city, and these guys never get fired, they never get called up, they have sham kangaroo courts that never work. You know what I'm saying? That's why I love what New York City did. If you're a cop and you're on a job and you end up in a situation, they can open up your files. They should be able to open up. I have no problem with that at all.
So we're keeping it real here. We're speaking our truth here. You have a new podcast that's a lot of that. Tell us about that.
Well, we got a new podcast that's coming out. It's called Pandemic Delusion. And the thing about it is, it's not a bitch fest. It's a conversation. It's commentary. It's discussion, debate, and most of all, it's comedy. It's about the issues that take place in the black community through the black perspective and how it affects the global community. It's not just about us. It's about what happens to us and how it affects other people, how it affects people not just here, but as you saw with the Black Lives Matter movement, how it affects people in other countries because it's making other people wake up and see exactly what's happening.
You're selling it short. Around the country, around the world. I mean, we saw it in Nigeria. We saw it in Nigeria where you had the black police firing on other black people and everything.
Exactly.
It's not – see, that's the thing. I don't really know if it's a race thing. I mean, race plays into it. But I think ultimately it's a power thing. When people have power, a lot of times it gets corrupted. I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, that's always been the case. And that's one of the things we get – that's one of the many things we get into. We got a lot of talented people, by the way. We got Karina Ford. She's got this one segment that's going to be called Solutions. And it's when we come up with all these things, at the end of the show, she comes up, and she's pretty good at it. We got John C. Hinton. He's a comedian also. And he is a guy that's going to be delving into. He's very smart, especially with the history and how things from the past relate to things happening right now. People are going to want to check that out. And Derek Eason, who I'm sure you know from Philly, Derek Eason, he's the co-host on the show with me. And we also have Just the Verse, who will come up with. She's like the Andy Rooney of this show. She'll come up with that thing at the end and say, have you ever wondered why black people hands are white on this side, black on the other? Have you ever thought about that? You know,
oddly enough, that's
our,
my
our first guest, actually our first guest on December 16th at 8 o'clock, that's a Wednesday, will be Rhonda Handsome. And just for record, Pandemic Delusions is the show. We have you check out our Facebook. The show's going to be broadcast live on Facebook. It's going to be mainly on YouTube, but we'll be sending it over to Facebook and also be on my page. And I'll probably sneak it over to Davin's page, too.
Sneak away.
People need to hear different opinions. And we welcome all thoughts. I intend on getting some supporters on. I got a couple people in mind. And what I want to do is actually give them a chance to explain why you feel this guy is the best person in the country.
You should get
that argument. I want to
Get Joe on. No. Joe would be good for that. Get Joe.
I want to actually hear their reasoning. We want to hear the reason why these, because it's 70. Look, but here's the deal. No matter how you may feel about the other side, 73 million people said we down with that.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm thinking maybe that's a wake up call for everybody else too, because not all these people are rednecks, you know, with no shoes on, you know, spitting out freaking chalk. I mean, some of these are pretty. One guy I know in particular, very smart man, Colgate. This guy graduated from Colgate, for Christ's sake. You know, and so there's got to be something more to it.
Nah. I got to stop you right there. If you're still supporting Trump after all this, you're fucking stupid. I'm sorry. listen, man. I've been very tolerant, and I listened, and I entertained, and sometimes I understood. But after all this shit, after what we've seen, even after the election, if you still support this guy, you're not fucking right in the head. You're stupid.
You know something? One thing's happened on this other show that I used to be on. We asked this question: why is it that racism and white supremacy is not a deal breaker for people when it comes to him? That's one of the questions I really...
You know the answer.
It's obvious. Now, the easy answer for a lot of them is, oh, he's not a racist. Okay, fine, you say that. I can show you videos and tapes of him saying stuff all day long.
Yep.
But my thing is, if you accept even the fact that on the day that he was sworn in, while he was having his inaugural ball, a bunch of neo-Nazis went to his hotel right up the street from Washington, D.C. It's on video. You can see it. They're doing the Heil Hitler thing for Trump. Heil Trump. They were doing it. It's on. You can see it.
Well, I would not hold Trump accountable for that. But I'm not.
What I'm saying is, what is he saying that gets that has these people going, hey, this guy's all right?
Well, it started with the birtherism. Listen, there's a whole reason. At this point, it's a cult. I've compared it.
Oh, yeah.
Before everybody was doing a cult, because I deal with the scammers and everything, I was comparing it to scam victims. And I've seen it, and listen, Joe and I have had our fights about it. I think Joe would be excellent on your show. Joe has his moments where you know, he can really put... What? You got Joe? Oh, I thought he said he got Joe. But Joe has his moments.
I would talk to him, yeah. I really would like to have somebody on to have a discussion with him about what makes this guy so great.